Good morning. Welcome, all of you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and it's good to see all of you here this morning. We welcome our guests and visitors this morning, and you have your announcements in the bulletin. We have a couple announcements this morning. First, I'm going to ask Susie to come forward. She's going to talk about the clothing drive.
Good morning. On behalf of the Mission Fellowship Commission, I want to thank everybody for the Jell-O that we were, the Jell-Os and the puddings. That ends today for the rescue mission, and we collected 64 boxes of pudding and Jell-O. So thank you very much. Now we're starting a new thing. We're helping the Zion United Methodist Church in Myerstown. They're having the Elko Raider Treasure Chest. Now they're doing the school supplies, but they need clothing for like the low income. So they need gently used and new clothing for adults, youth, and children, new socks and underwear. I am not sure what size or anything, so I guess children, adult. And we'll be collecting that until next Sunday. And I will make sure that the United Methodist Church will have it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. Janet has an announcement this morning.
Our church has had a very busy week of service to our community, and I just wanted to take a moment to share a couple of the activities with you this morning. On Thursday morning, a small group met in the church kitchen and made 18 dozen snickerdoodles to contribute to the Londonderry Village chicken barbecue. The cookies were delivered to Londonderry Village on Friday, and they were included in the barbecue dinners that they had sold for their event. The baking team was so efficient that those cookies were baked in just an hour and a half. So thank you to everyone that participated in this activity. John and Sharon Klein from On Fire Youth Ministries would like to sincerely thank our church for their continued support of their ministry. Last evening, a team of 11 members from our church family worked at the grandstand snack bar at the Lebanon Fair to benefit the online On Fire Youth Ministry. On this busiest night of the week, they made and served hot dogs, soft pretzels, nachos, and drinks to hungry and thirsty fairgoers. Although John was not able to confirm this until after all the accounting has been done, he did say that this was a record-breaking night of sales for them. Thank you to everyone from our church family that gave of their time to support this valuable ministry and for representing Myerstown Church of the Brethren. We are blessed to have this opportunity to serve our community, so thank you all very much.
Thank you, Janet. Yeah, I helped out yesterday at that On Fire Ministry booth, and one thing I learned from this, they had a long list. I was helping with beverages. That whole long list of drinks, you know, orange drinks and all that. Oh, man, there must have been about 15, 20 different kinds. But the most popular drink that people requested was water. So that was interesting to hear that. So do you have any other announcements this morning?
Good morning. Janet had announced last week, we're looking for volunteers for National Night Out. We've participated the past couple years. It is scheduled for Tuesday, August 6th from 5:30 to 8. Typically, we have a booth with a couple games, some prizes. So if you're interested in signing up, we have a sign-up sheet out in the gathering place. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. Any other announcements? Before we sing our opening songs of praise, one of the things that's really important when it comes to brethren is our fellowship with one another. So just take a moment and greet your neighbor this morning, and just tell them you're glad you're here this morning. At this time, if we could have the praise team come forward, we'll begin our time of singing praises to our Lord. Praise team will be leading us this morning in two opening songs of praise, Our God and I Will Trust in You. Let's just give our songs of praise to the Lord, and please stand if you're able to. Join me in the responsive call to worship. This morning's call to worship is taken from Romans 8, 31 to 33 and 37 to 39. If God is for us, who can be against us? He gave us his own Son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? No, in all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from love, his love. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray our invocational prayer together in unison. Let us pray. O living Christ, come to us in the glory of your risen power. Come to us in the humility of your wondrous love. Come and reign among us. Let new life course through our veins, new love bind us together, and new vision spur us on to follow you forever. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, and the children can come forward for the children's story.
Well, good morning. How is everybody? Oh, my goodness. Are we awake? How is everybody? Good. Okay. Turn around here. What we're going to talk about today is, have you ever had or tried to teach someone how to do something? Have you ever tried to teach someone how to do something? Yeah? What have you tried to teach?
A kid how to tie their shoes.
Yes, that's probably like the number one thing. Okay, so what we're going to do is, suppose a friend came up to you and said, teach me how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Would you be able to do that?
Yeah.
You would? Okay, so what's the first thing you need?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Bread. Bread. Okay, that's it. First is bread. There it is. All right, what's next?
Peanut butter.
All right, and then jelly, I heard. And then what else do you need? One more thing.
You need to close up. You need to spread it.
What do you spread it with?
A knife.
A knife. Okay, we need a knife. So, first thing you got to do, you get two slices of bread, right? Or do you get more than that?
Two.
Two. You just get two. Okay, just leave it right there, Dan. So, we got two slices of bread. Next, what do you do?
Get peanut butter and
jelly. Very good. Peanut butter, and what do you put it on with?
Bread.
What do you use to put on the bread?
A butter knife.
A butter knife, yes. You got to have a butter knife. Okay, so you got to spread it. Now, do you spread the peanut butter on both pieces of bread or just one?
You don't? Which one?
I do with one.
One piece. Okay, am I do two? No. Okay. Now, one side has peanut butter. What's the other side have?
Jelly.
Okay, this is strawberry jelly. Who likes that? You do? Okay.
I like
orange jelly. When have you had orange jelly?
I like grape.
You like grape. Okay, good. All right, so you got one side spread with peanut butter, one side spread with the jelly, and then what do?
Then you close up your sandwich and eat it.
Yep, you close it together, and then you?
Eat it.
Eat it. Very good. So you just taught somebody how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, did you know that Jesus spent much time in prayer, and he was a great teacher? One day he went to a quiet place to pray, and when he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said something. Brooke is going to read from the book of Luke, and we're going to see what Jesus taught them how to do. So listen up.
He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and not lead us into temptation.
So, do you know what Jesus did? They asked him, can you teach us how to pray? And so Jesus did. He taught them how to pray. And it was a beautiful prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. It's not very long, but there are three things in this short prayer that every prayer should include. Okay, so first, hold up number one. When you pray, the first thing you should do is praise God, our Heavenly Father. So, number one is shout, praise God.
Praise God.
Louder than that.
Praise God.
Yes, first thing, praise God. Number two, you ask God to provide for what you need for the day. So, number two, you ask God what you need. All right, shout that out. Ask God what you need. Yes, that's number two. First, praise God. Number two, ask God for what you need. And number three is ask God's forgiveness for times when we may not do what is right. So number three is forgiveness. Okay, so ready? Shout that out.
Praise.
Praise God. Ask God for what we need. And then ask forgiveness. Very good. Those are the three things. Anytime you pray, remember that. You start with praising. Second, we ask for what we need. And then we ask for forgiveness for what we should have done and we didn't do, for the bad stuff that we might do. So we're going to pray together. Are you ready? We're going to do the Lord's Prayer. So close your eyes and shout out. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Good job. Okay, so remember that. Praise God. Ask God for what you need. Sometimes it's just to have a good day, right? And the third one, ask for forgiveness for what we may do, right? Okay. Good job, everybody. You can go have a seat.
As we prepare our morning offering, let us read together the offertory statement that's printed in your bulletin from Psalm 29, 1 to 2. Let us read this together. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord the glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your holy presence. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of your church. We pray that as we give these gifts to you, Lord, that our hearts will be stirred, that we might not only give to you, but serve you in sincerity and truth. We pray for the ministry needs of this church around the world, Lord, that you would give us, Lord, the provisions to provide for those needs. We thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, the children can go to Children's Church, and I invite the praise team to come forward as they sing the offertory song, Unbroken Praise, and the ushers can come forward as we take our morning offering. thank the praise team this morning for the wonderful songs this morning. We come to our time of prayer. And in your bulletins, you'll see a prayer list of brothers and sisters we need to remember in prayer. Just want to give you an update. Sister Edna Yeo, we need to keep Edna Yeo in prayer. She is recovering from shoulder surgery. She's got a big cast on her arm, kind of making things inconvenient for her. So keep her in prayer. We also see in our announcements that this week we always pray for a church in the district, and this week we are praying for the Jennersville Church of the Brethren. So lift that church this week in prayer. Let's come to our God this morning as we bow our heads for our morning prayer. Lord, we come to you as a sovereign God of the universe. Come to you as the God who is over all things. Come to you as the God that's over our lives. And we thank you and we give you praise for that. Sometimes, Lord, we just have to look around and just see how awesome you are as the one who is over all things. We come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for each one of us, the one who is head of the church. And we pray that we as your people might have that gospel message of Jesus Christ within our hearts and souls. And to know, Lord, how rich we are, not through ourselves, but through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy towards us. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship, this time, this set-apart time where we gather together in your name, gather together as brothers and sisters in the faith. We thank you for the fellowship of the church and for this time that we have together. We lift up this church this morning, Lord. We thank you that we have a church that we're privileged to come to. We pray that we as your people would be faithful to the church and faithful to the fellowship, and to be faithful to not only you, but to each other. Bless the ministry that we do here, Lord. We know, Lord, that this is just a small portion of what we will expect when we come into your kingdom in heaven. Lord, help us just do our best to prepare for that time. Help us, Lord, just to be ready for that time. The Bible tells us we never know when Jesus will come, but we need to be on guard. We need to examine our lives, examine our hearts, that we would be ready at all times. Pray that we would also be honest with ourselves, our lives, and confess our sins before you. Lord, we thank you for the church fellowship, and for we lift up, Lord, the many names this morning that are on our prayer list. Lord, situations, each one of these individuals face challenges, situations, Lord, that are very challenging. We lift them to you. We know, Lord, that you're sovereign over each one of these, that you have a plan. We pray that you would give a heart to each one of this on the list, Lord, that they would know that you have a plan. We lift up to you this morning, Sister Edna. We pray for her recovery. We pray for a recovery following shoulder surgery. We pray, Lord, that you would give her strength during this recovery time. We lift up this morning, Lord, the Jennersville Church of the Brethren. We thank you for
the church and the witness over the years that this church had. We lift up the ministry of this church. We lift up the pastor of this church, Lord, that you would bless their ministry and bless their outreach as they minister in the community. We thank you for our denomination. We pray that you would guide us as a denomination to be faithful to you and to look to each other, Lord, for strength and guidance from you. We thank you for our nation. We pray that you would guide our nation and our leaders right now, Lord. We're at a time, Lord, where we need you now more than ever. Direct the decisions of our president and our congressmen and women, that they would be faithful to your principles, Lord, faithful to your word. And may we as your people, as your citizens, may we as people of the church be that light, that shining light that Jesus says should never be hidden. Guide our example, our walk, that people see Jesus in our walk. We lift up now the scripture reading, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to the reading of your word. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture text today, if you want to turn to your Bibles, is taken from Psalm 138. We're looking at the Psalm of David. And the title of this morning's message is, You Will Revive Me. This is David's testimony from this morning's text from Psalm 138. I'll be reading all the verses of Psalm 138, a psalm of David. Hear the word of the Lord. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In a day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. May God add a blessing in the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word, which you gave to us so that we would follow you. And I pray now that you would guide every word that I speak and the meditation of my heart, that Jesus Christ would be uplifted. In his name we pray. Amen. I want you to think of a time in your life when you received some bad news. I mean, the news you received was just devastating news. And when you were told this news, or however you found out, you weren't sure how you would handle the news. And after you received this news, think what you went through, what was going through your mind, through your heart. How did you handle the bad news? People today, we handle bad news, we handle grief in different ways. Some people get over it. Some people run away from it. Some people learn and grow from it. And then there are others who never get over it, and they stay in their grief. I had a grandmother on my father's side of the family who experienced a major tragic loss. Her 9-month-old infant son died of tuberculosis. He was named Little Elmer, named after his father, Elmer Moyer, my grandfather. Little Elmer was the last born child in the family of 6 children. And I was told that this really affected my grandmother. I was too young to remember my grandmother Moyer, but my older siblings told me that she was a woman who never smiled much or was happy, especially in her latter years of life. All the pictures that I saw of her showed that she had a frown on her face, never really pleasant at all. And we wanted to know why. We were told that it was because she never got over the death of her little Elmer. Very sad. But does it have to be that way? How did Job in the Bible handle his devastating news? If you think your news is bad, think of losing 10 of his own children and losing his livestock and covered from head to toe with sores all over his body. How did Job handle that? The Bible says after Job lost all that, he sat on the ground and mourned for 7 days and 7 nights. Now, if you and I would sit on the ground for 7 straight days and 7 nights, I'm sure that would seem like an eternity. But it just shows how much Job was grieving over his loss. But in this morning's scripture text, King David gives us a refreshing message of how we can be revived after receiving some devastating news. How did David be revived after his devastating loss? What we need to know, first of all, when I mean revive, what does revive mean? Revive means to live, having life. For some people, that meant having life after life was taken away from you. But I want us to first look at some of the background of David in this text. If you look at Psalm 138, this is very much of a joyful psalm of praise, but the one before this is a very tragic time. It says, Psalm 137 verse 1 says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept." In other words, David and Israel were going through some major mourning disaster after receiving disastrous news. Yet then in Psalm 38, everything changes. And if you look at Psalm 138 verse 7, David says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you, God, will revive me." And I believe this is the central verse of this psalm, 138, verse 7. Because everything that David says leads to that verse. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, God, you will revive me." So David's saying, he says, even though I'm facing trouble every day, I believe the Lord will revive me and bring new life into my soul. Now, how could anyone worry with that kind of outlook in life? That whenever something devastating comes up, David says, you know what? It's fine because I know that God will have the victory over this and I'm going to be revived. I'm going to benefit from it. That's the healthy outlook. And oh, if only we could have this conviction like David did when we face our devastating news. So how could David do this? How could he believe the Lord will revive him from his own troubles? David could only do this by faith in God alone. There is no other magical formula other than faith in God. There's no Ouija boards, there's more psychic readers that gives you good news. It's nothing except faith in God. because God knows the answer to your loss. He is the only one that can revive you. Faith in God, what is that? It is believing in the things that you and I cannot see. A key verse, if you want to write this down in your notes, is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That is a key verse when it comes to faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we all have things that we want to hope for, but yet we can't see that. But we know God is going to give us a victory. Faith in God is to believe in a God whose thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55 verse 8 mentions that. Faith in God is to believe in a God whose timing is not on our timetable. Faith in God is to believe in a God who answers prayers in ways that we would never think of. And if we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that we always seem to have more questions about God than answers when we're going through our own tragedy and loss. But faith in God tells us that God has it in the palm of his hand. Yet through these questions about God, and David had those questions, and through his spiritual battles, Look what David was able to say to God. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 138, verse 3. In a day when I cried out, you answered me, and made me bold with strength in my soul. So that made me think, what causes people to lose their faith in God? Especially in times of trial. Well, it's a reliance on other things. Other things rather than God. We can name many things. Money, materialism, temptations. The list can go on and on. David gives us the answer of how you and I can put our ultimate faith in God. Look at Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise you, God, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. So what does that say? It says faith in God is what? It centers on our hearts. That's where it starts. You know, if you're someone who has a heart for anything, you're going to get it done. Whether it's a work assignment or helping someone out, if you got a heart for that person, you're going to really help them out. If you got a heart for a work assignment, you're going to stay up all hours of the night to get it done, right? Well, that leads to this question. I have it in your inserts. Where I say, fill in the blank for yourself. I have a heart for, and you fill that in. You can write it or you can think about it. What do you have a heart for? Whatever that is, the next question is this. Ask yourself, is God over that? Is God over your heart? What is our heart? Our heart is the will, the aims, the principles, the thoughts, the intellect of who you are. If we want to get something done, we're going to put our hearts into it. This is how we are to see God in our lives. This is how we are to serve him, with our whole hearts. To praise God means to give him thanks. To praise God means to give him thanks. Look at the rest of that verse in verse 1. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. That means you're going to praise God before angels, before principalities, before the supernatural. I was watching the 50th anniversary celebration of the moon landing. How many of you are old enough to remember July 20th, 1969, the day man walked on the moon. I was old enough to remember that. I was a child. I just remember one thing about that night. When we were watching that on TV, at that time, we lived along a major highway. And what I remember is there's absolutely no cars on the highway going past. I never remember a time when I didn't see any cars go past our house. My father was saying, everybody, the whole world is watching this right now. It's amazing. The Apollo celebration was an amazing thing, amazing accomplishment. And one of the most amazing spacecrafts was right previous to that, the Apollo 8 one in December of 1968. Astronauts Jim Lovell, Frank Borman, and Bill Anders orbited the moon for the first time. And then on Christmas Eve in 1968, these astronauts saw the Earth for the first time in orbit. And they were so inspired that all three of these men read the Bible. They read the creation account in Genesis 1. What caused them to be this bold, some might think? Well, they saw the God of the universe. They saw the God of the universe was over all. And so when David says, before the gods, I will sing praises to you, that means that God is above these powers and principalities. But we have to have a heart. We have to put God above those things that are important to us. I mean, today we have the God of the horoscope. We have the gods of the palm readers. We have the God of mammon. You name it. And we live in a world where these powers drown out the one holy and true God. But we can only allow that to happen by the choices we make. So getting back to Psalm 138, David had to decide, who is more important in my life? Who's more important in my heart, God or some other authority? We have the same choice. Look at this next verses, Psalm 138, 2 to 3. David says, I worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Crying out to God. When was the last time you cried out to God? Cry out to God. We need to cry out to God. All of us do. Sometimes we get to a point in our loss that there is no one else to turn to other than God himself. When is the last time you called on the name of the Lord for anything? You say, I have a hard time remembering that. If you haven't called on the name of the Lord, look what you're missing according to verse 2. In verse 2, David lists two of God's many attributes, loving kindness and truth. The Bible says that God has loving kindness in his heart and truth. Now, notice David put those two attributes of God together, loving kindness and truth. Now, if you ask us what's the most wonderful thing that we like, we all want the loving kindness of God, but the truth of God, that's a little bit harder to take, because sometimes, as they say, the truth hurts, and sometimes the truth of God pierces our hearts. But David puts those two attributes of God together. If we want God's loving kindness, we must desire and want God's truth. God's truth is centered in his word. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Think what that says about God. What is God's word? God's word is his speech and his commandments, which are found in the Bible. And sometimes his word convicts our souls, and that's hard. The Bible says this about the word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that is a good verse. Even though it's hard, it is good. It is good. Like if I have a thought and God's word says something else, what am I to do? I'm to obey what God says I need to do. God's word is the highest truth there is. David praises God's loving kindness and his truth. And if we have a hard time understanding God's truth and God's word, then what has David said we were to do? Cry out to God. Cry out to God for understanding and for his answers. So that leads me to ask, are you at a place in your life where you need to cry out to God? You may have tried many, many things, and nothing has worked for you. When we cry out to God, what happens? We can be assured that he hears us and that he's going to answer us. That's what David says. David said when he cried out to God that God answered him and made me bold with strength in my soul. David's only source of strength was God himself. It's found in God himself. In other words, David says, I once was weak, but now I'm strong. Strong in the Lord, strong in his promises, strong in his word. That's where all of us need to be. That's where all of us as believers need to be. Strong in believing God's promises. And if we want that, we need to be strong in his word. But do we see this desire for God and his word today in our nation? Our nation now is crying out for God's truth and God's word to be known and heard. We need God's truth and word in our nation. We see this need with some of our politicians who are straying so far away from God's truth, which is found in his word. And I find refreshment in one of our former presidents, Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, who had such a high value of the Bible. Lincoln once said this about the Bible, and I quote, "The Bible is the best gift God has given to men, but for it we cannot know right from wrong." Imagine Lincoln was a politician. I think we can all agree on that, that politics is straying further and further away from God's word. But before we cast our own stones on our politicians, which is so easy to do, we need to look at ourselves as Christians first and ask ourselves, are we desiring God's truth and God's word? The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, "For the time has come for judgment to begin where? It begins at the house of God. It begins with us." So we need to take these promises and these truths from God and bring them into our hearts. There's no other solution in our lives and in our losses. I want us to read together, as we close, I want us to read together the last verse from this morning's scripture text. It's on the screen. And let's read this verse together. "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Now just look at that verse for a moment. And look what it says. It says, God has a plan for anything that you're going through. He has everything worked out. He has everything worked out. Why? Because of his mercy towards you. His mercy towards you will never end. He simply says, trust me today. but you must first put your faith and trust in him today. It doesn't matter what concerns you have. It doesn't matter what your loss is, your devastating loss is. The bottom line is we cannot allow anything in our lives to keep us away from what God has planned for you and me through Jesus Christ. Take that matter to heart. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that no matter what we face, that you have this in the palm of your hand. We thank you that you're God who gives us life. Lord, we thank you that when we cry out to you, that you hear us and that you will revive us. And we know, Lord, that your source, your truth, is the only source of truth that we have, the only source that we have to bring us life. Guide us, Lord, as we bring our hearts to you in this time of worship. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song of praise is a very familiar song, Amazing Grace, a wonderful song of praise. And so I ask that the praise team come forward as we sing our closing song, Amazing Grace. Would you stand, please?
Amazing grace.
As we leave here this morning, hear these words of benediction from Psalm 46, verses 1, 10, and 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.